Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a kind of a strange edition of Basic Gospel. We're having technical difficulties for our radio feed today, but we're on the online situation here, and for those of you who are joining us on YouTube or Facebook, we want to welcome you to Basic Gospel. As I said, it will be a different type of format today. It's going to be kind of freewheeling, Bob Christopher, and so we kind of like that, don't we?
We do indeed, and for our YouTube and Facebook viewers, this is a great opportunity for you to pose your questions, so you can do so right there in the comment section. And if you have a question that you would like us to answer on today's edition, go ahead and write those questions now, and we'll get to as many of them as we possibly can. We will really look forward to that.
And we still can call the normal number, 844-322-2742, and we can just get you right onto the system, I do believe. We'll try it anyway. And,
yes, indeed.
So anyway. Well, Bob, what you got on your mind today?
Well, a couple of things. One, we talked about our new video that we were going to upload today, and it's a video about confession of sins. There's this big question whether we as believers should confess sins or should we not confess our sins. Mm-hmm. And this is a 15-minute video that really addresses that issue and I think answers the question biblically. Margaret had a chance to watch it earlier today, and this was her comment. Bob, this was such good teaching. What I love about Basic Gospel and the grace message is everything is backed up with Scripture. Thank you, thank you. So if you want a scriptural look at this particular question, what is the role of confession as far as believers are concerned? This is a great video, and it is on our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. You can find it right there. Take a look, and then be sure and leave a comment. We would love to hear from you after you watch this. And if you know somebody struggling with the forgiveness of sins, struggling with the finished work of Jesus, this would be a great video to share with them. So that's why we've put these resources up. That's why we have that YouTube channel, so that you can be encouraged in your own walk with Jesus Christ and to give you some resources that you can share, that you can pass along to people that you encounter in your day-to-day life. Now, Bob, all week we have talked about this question, do you know what you believe?
Yeah.
And we've looked at several different topics. Do you know what you believe about God? Do you know what you believe about Jesus? Do you know what you believe about the gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Today we're going to pause on this one. Do you know what you believe about the new covenant? And the new covenant was something that was prophesied about. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and said to the people of Israel, there's going to be a point in time in the future when he would make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. And it wouldn't be like the covenant that he made back at Mount Sinai. It would be different in so many different ways. Well, that time came. That time came when Jesus showed up, when he inhabited the body that God prepared for him, and when he offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice to take away sins. So in that death, he fulfilled the old covenant. He fulfilled every aspect of it. So it came to an end. And then through his shed blood, he ushered in a new covenant. Yeah. So that cross was the pivot point. That was the place of change, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. Things changed in a big way. So when God goes, he goes big. And that cross, there was a big monumental change, a shift, a total shift from old covenant to new. Now, what does that mean to you and me? Well, that old covenant, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is this. It is a covenant of judgment. It is a covenant of condemnation. It is a covenant of death. So that's the end result of that old covenant. The wages of sin is death, and that old covenant just brings that about. It just shows that for what it really is. So when Jesus died, he brought that old covenant to its conclusion, death. He died. So the sins that he died for were not his own. They were our sins. So they were my sins. They were your sins. So he bore those sins in his body, and he took the punishment. He died. And then he was raised to walk in the newness of life. So that blood represented an end to the old. It also represented a beginning of the new. A will doesn't go into effect until the one who made it dies. Yeah. Jesus died. In that death, he made effective this new covenant. And that's the covenant that we are living in today. Mm-hmm. So we are new covenant believers. And in this new covenant, we have some promises that God made that have been fulfilled through Jesus. So the first of those promises is this, that God would write his laws upon our hearts and in our minds. Well, he did that through the indwelling presence of God's Spirit. Well, what are those laws? Those laws are faith, hope, and love. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the Mosaic Covenant. No, he's raised us up to walk in the newness of life. So it's faith, hope, and love. Now, the second promise of that new covenant is this, that we are God's people and God is our God. So that gives us a sense of security, a sense of assurance that we belong, that we're a part of the family of God. The third is that we will all know God from the least of us to the greatest. In the old covenant, God was distant. The law kept them at a distance from God. They were never able to truly know him. They were able to know some things about him that God had revealed, but they were never able to enter into that personal relationship. Well, now, through this new covenant, through the indwelling presence of God's Spirit, we have the true knowledge of God. It's a part of us now.
Yeah.
We know what God is really like. Why? Because we've experienced him. We know he's love. We know his mercy. We know his forgiveness. That's what we know about God. So we know God the Father personally. And then the final is that Jesus died for our sins. So these sins have been forgiven, and God has chosen to remember them no more. So this is the covenant that we live in. This is why this gospel of grace is such good news. All of these promises have been fulfilled in Jesus, and all of these promises are ours, and all of these promises give us everything that we need for life and godliness.
Seems like that new covenant's a pretty good thing.
It's a pretty good thing, and we need to know about it, and we need to know that we're a part of it, and we need to really enjoy this life, this new life, this new covenant has brought to us.
Absolutely. Well, for our Facebook and YouTube viewers, this is a special edition just for you, and we want you to be a part of it. If you can pick up that phone right now, we'd like for you to come in and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742, or as Bob said, you can drop a note in the chat box there, and Bob will see it as it comes up and be able to respond appropriately to your particular input for the program today. But again, you can do that right now, either way, in the chat box or at 844-322-2742. Prayers, gifts, and loving support. I want to talk a little bit differently about giving today than I normally do. So, friends, I'll ask you a question. When you make a gift to Basic Gospel out of the resources that God has allowed you, what exactly are you supporting? Well, you know, through the years, we've sometimes heard the question, why are you asking for money when the gospel is free for everyone? Well, it is. It's absolute bedrock truth that the gospel is free. Romans 10:14 asks three questions, and you can look them up, but the third question, I believe, addresses that issue. It asks, how are they to hear without someone preaching? Well, at Basic Gospel, we gladly and freely share the good news of the gospel, and this is the message, and it's free for everyone. But what about the messenger? And what about the vehicle that carries the message every day? What about the radio stations and the internet carriers that bring the message to your radios and other online devices? Well, there's the rub, and it rubs us all. bringing the message has its costs. And when you give to Basic Gospel, you're helping us, the messenger, continue to be available to bring you the good news of the free message. So when you get a chance, drop by basicgospel.net and make a donation to help the messenger keep the good news, the free news, coming. That's basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, over to you. Do we have something on the line? If not, I've got something here.
Well, we do. We have several questions, and I think these are important ones based on the video about confession of sins. Mm-hmm. Jeff wants some clarification, so he asks this. You say 1 John 1:9 is about unbelievers, yet you keep saying we believers should confess. Well, first of all, Jeff, I never said in the video that we should. Whenever you use that word should, then you're making it an obligation.
Mm-hmm, right.
So this isn't about something that we should be doing. What I said in the video, that when we're walking in the truth, we're going to be agreeing with God. That's just a normal outflow of this walk that we have with Jesus, walking in the truth. Now, we agree with God concerning all sorts of things. If I've offended you, Bob Davis, I'm not going to say that I haven't. I want to agree that I've offended you. And when I do, when we lay the truth out there, then we have an opportunity to work through it.
Sure.
Then we have an opportunity to talk through the issue. Then we have an opportunity to let this relationship that we have be stronger in the end run.
Sure.
So we walk in truth. So this agreeing with God, saying the same thing that God says, is an important aspect of relationship building. Now, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, in Christ, that relationship is secure. There is no sin that we can commit that will separate us from God. There's no sin that will bounce us out of fellowship with God. There's no sin that has gone unforgiven. We are forgiven people.
Yes.
So there's no need for us to confess sins in order to be forgiven or in order to maintain fellowship. So we're free. We're free to walk in the truth and just to agree with God concerning all things. So when we sin, we call it sin, but we confess that Christ has already dealt with that.
Yeah.
We confess that we are already forgiven in Christ Jesus. That's agreeing with God. That's saying the same thing that God has said about that issue. So when we say the word confess, we're talking about walking in truth. And us believers, we believers, guess what? We walk in truth. And when we walk in truth, that means we're agreeing with God, not just concerning our sins, but concerning the righteousness that we have in Christ, the salvation that we have in Christ, the forgiveness that we have in Christ, the fact that Christ lives in us, all of these things, when we agree with God, we're in the process of confessing, and that is just an outflow of this life of walking in the truth.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, thanks for posing the question, giving Bob the opportunity to clarify that particular issue, and hope that's a help to you. Well, again, we have some open lines at 844-322-2742, and also, as I said, you can drop a message into the chat box if you're viewing on Facebook or YouTube, and Bob will be sure to see it when it comes up. Either way, it's a good way, and we hope to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have this call from Henry in San Bruno. Hi, Henry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Okay, great. Listen, I got four scriptures. I want to get some clarity because I understand that we receive love from God, forgiveness from God, mercy, grace, everything from God. And then the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that we're receiving from Him and then pass it on to others. It's the old covenant is like you had to work to get it. You had to be merciful to get mercy. You had to forgive to be forgiven. You had to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul to get the love from God. I mean, you kind of had to earn it. It was what they call deeds of the law. I understand all that. But 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hebrews says, "For I will be." Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." So it seems, it sounds like we receive mercy. He's going to be merciful, so we can count on mercy. But and I understand Jesus before the cross said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So that was before the cross. They had to do it to get it. But James in the New Covenant Epistles seems to be backtracking, seems to be saying what Jesus said before the cross. In James 2:13, he says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment." So it sounds like James, in a lot of what James says, it almost seems like it contradicts some of the things. It seems like James is a hard book to really understand, because some of the things he says seems like it's going back before grace, before back under law. I mean, could you put some clarity on that?
Well, Henry, great question, and I love how you're thinking through all of this and trying to tie all this together. And you know, there's justice. If we just want to deal with justice and let that be kind of the rule of life, the end game, so to speak, then we're all doomed, aren't we? The justice of God is this: the wages of sin is death. And so if we wanted justice to prevail, then death would be our eternal consequence. But God, who is just, sent Jesus on our behalf, and he took the justice of God, and in so doing, he opened up the fountain of mercy for all of us to receive. So now I receive mercy, and in receiving mercy, I am saved. I am rescued from that law of sin and death, and I'm made alive together with Christ Jesus. So when Jesus and James are talking about that in the Sermon on the Mount, as far as Jesus is concerned, and James's letter, he's trying to say to especially the Jewish people, hey, you are so bound up in the law that all you want is justice. But here I'm trying to tell you that what you truly need is mercy. If I wasn't merciful to you, you would have no opportunity to be saved. If I wasn't a merciful God, you would have the only consequence coming to you would be death. So you need something more than justice. You need mercy. And that's why this cross of Jesus Christ has become the mercy seat, and where we can actually meet with God, receive mercy, and be brought into that relationship with him. So all of us need mercy. God has shown mercy to both Jew and Gentile through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. At one time, the Gentiles were outside of that, but now God has chosen to show mercy to them. That's been his game plan all along, and that's his freedom, and that's his will to do so, to show mercy on whom he wants to show mercy. So he has chosen to show mercy to both Jew and Gentile. Now, if a Jew thinks, or anyone thinks, that, oh no, I'm going to stand by the law, then justice is going to be their reward, and that's going to be eternal death. Does that make sense to you, Henry?
Yes, it does, but it just seems like the language of James, like if Paul said that there's no, that it's by grace and not of works, but then James turns it around and says it is not just grace, it's also works. And then he says this verse about mercy, you know, that you, if you don't show mercy, you're not going to get mercy. So it just seems like is it the language of James and his dealing with the Jewish mentality? Is it James seems so contrary? Because like, I notice when I'm preaching grace, that people come back with stuff that James says. They come back with what Jesus says. And it's almost like James, in some ways, is speaking the same language as Jesus, only Jesus was before the cross. And James is after the cross, and it seems like it just it gets it gets strange. Me, myself, I know that when I, because I'm leading with grace and I know I have a new heart and because I know what it means to be forgiven, I go the extra mile. I do more than just forgive people. People say, oh, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. But I do more than just forgive. I say the guy is, your guy attacked me at my work. He beat me down. And I went to bat for them. I saved him his job. You know, I did more than forgive him. I went the extra mile. I didn't just turn the other cheek. I went the extra mile and saved him his job and you know, went protected him. You know, but that's what you do when you really understand what God does for us. I understand God
absolutely
protected me. You know, yeah. God did that for me. He showed me such mercy and such grace and such love that, you know, it's easy to pass it on. It's easy to forgive. I mean, and more than just forgive, mm-hmm. you know, reconcile, you know. So it just seems like, and people are, I don't know, it just seems like James' language, it makes it difficult, you know. I don't know if it's...
Well, I think James is just making it clear to his audience that... He says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. So he's showing the stringency of the law. And so when he says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy, mercy triumphs over judgment, that's kind of the conclusion. If you think the law is God's end game, then you're just not really looking at what real life is all about. You're not seeing your own need. You're not seeing your own failures and the fact that you have become accountable for all of it, not just some of it. So he's saying, hey, you need to look beyond the law and to see the mercy of God. I mean, that's the message of the Bible. We need to look beyond our human effort and to realize if we're going to be saved, then that's going to come from a merciful God who chooses to save us. So that's all James is saying here. That's his message. And when he goes on to say faith without works is dead, he's just giving the full substance of what faith is all about. Works isn't the thing that saves us. It is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this faith is a living faith. Why? Because Jesus is a living God who has come to live inside of us. And when we trust in him, we're going to see his life being lived in and through us. And that's absolutely exactly what you were describing. As absolutely what was happening in your life, Henry. So,
in your book, right, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I've read it a couple of times. I have it on Kindle, and I recommend that book to anybody who wants to grow. And it's all about. I mean, if you're coming in as a new Christian and you're still afraid of punishment, you're not growing. You don't really know God, and that might be fine for new Christians that are kind of growing and they don't see God the way they should. You know, there should be some serious level of maturity where we grow and we start to see God a lot different than we did coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's just how I feel. That's how I see it.
So. Yeah, well, that's the encouragement of Scripture, is for us to grow in grace and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, Henry, thanks for your call. Enjoyed the discussion, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel, a YouTube and Facebook edition. And we're glad for those of you who view the program today, glad you were with us. If you're a new listener or a new viewer to the program, well, if you're spiritually benefiting from what you're hearing on this daily broadcast, I hope you'll step up and help to keep the messenger on the air and online with the free message of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and help to ensure the message of grace in Christ Jesus remains on the air and online for you. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. You know, the listener line is open around the clock for you. If over the weekend you have a question, something pops into your mind, a troublesome issue, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742 and leave a voicemail for us, and we'll get to you this coming week on Basic Gospel. And by the way, you're invited to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live on either Facebook or YouTube every Sunday morning at 9:30. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel and wishing you a blessed weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.